Okay. It was a big surprise. My roommate got some Cubs tickets. So he went down to the Cubs game, which turned out to be rained out. But, you know, Wrigley Field is such a beautiful, beautiful place. It was worth it just to sit there and watch three innings of ball, even though the game got canceled. It was a big game, too, the Cubs and the Cardinals. For those of you who are not...
More incidents of people getting poisoned and killed. Now, I mean, I found out listening to the news, they're recalling, what is it, Play School or Fisher-Price toys because of...
This is the Quality News Network. Dean has been downgraded from a Category 5 to a Category 3 hurricane after it smashed into the coasts of Mexico and Belize this morning, raging with winds exceeding 165 miles per hour. It was the first Category 5 storm to make landfall since Hurricane Andrew in 1992. In Ottawa, Canada's Prime Minister, Mexico's President, President Bush, have agreed to design a mutual strategy safeguarding borders in the event of an emergency like a terrorist attack or outbreak of avian flu. The plan would aim to provide border security without disrupting commerce. A third Iraqi government official has been kidnapped. The deputy minister for science and technology was abducted yesterday afternoon by gunmen wearing military uniforms. In Baghdad today, 15 former officials from the Saddam Hussein regime go on trial for crimes against humanity. The men are accused of massacring as many as 100,000 Shiites during a 1991 uprising. In Fort Meade, Maryland, two of the most serious charges have been dropped against the only officer brought to trial in the Abu Ghraib prison abuse scandal. That after an investigator admitted he had failed to read the Army Reservist Lieutenant Colonel his rights before questioning. In Minneapolis, a 13th body has been recovered from the Mississippi River. Authorities say the remains belong to the last person listed as missing from the collapse of the Twin Cities Bridge earlier this month. Continued rain in Missouri, Wisconsin, and Oklahoma is adding to the flooding and landslides that have already claimed at least a dozen lives. Damages are estimated in the millions. And in Montana, continued high winds are feeding wildfires that have already consumed nearly 100,000 acres. Houses have been burned to the ground, hundreds of residents evacuated. The third largest wildfire in California's modern history is racing through Los Padres National Forest. Almost 215,000 acres of backcountry have been blackened. In Asheville, North Carolina, 88-year-old evangelist Billy Graham has undergone a second bout of intestinal bleeding. He remains hospitalized. Gold is trading at $668.20 an ounce. You're listening to the Quality News Network.
Monterey is the home of a new national radio voice. It's America Back on Track from the Quality News Network. Tune in weekdays at noon Pacific to this new national broadcast, a conversation with America designed to get our country back on track. America Back on Track features local and long-distance guests sharing global ideas on where we are, how we got here, where we want to go, and how we might get there. So take an hour out of your day to plug into the future, our future. Discover the solutions to the problems that have gridlocked our nation for all too long. Eschew the agenda-driven palaver of the left and the right. Tune into America Back on Track for honest talk about the important issues and how they can be resolved. America Back on Track, weekdays at noon on KRML, 1410 a.m. in the Monterey area, and streaming live online at QNNAmerica.com. America Back on Track, our ticket to a healthy and productive future.
Nassau says Hurricane Dean has bypassed its Houston mission control. The Space Shuttle Endeavour is expected to land at Cape Canaveral this afternoon. A new study released in Spain yesterday says food prepared with olive oil may help prevent blood clots in those with high cholesterol. Olive oil is already thought to benefit the heart. Walmart has halted sales of two Chinese-produced dog treats, even though an official recall has not been announced yet. Customers have complained that two brands of chicken jerky have made their pets ill. The New Zealand government has revealed that Chinese-made items of clothing were recalled because of dangerous levels of formaldehyde or children's pajamas. The pajamas contain 900 times the amount of toxic chemical considered acceptable. A U.S. attorney's filed a class action suit against Mattel as a result of the company's massive recall of Chinese-made toys containing lead. The lawyer wants Mattel to pay for the testing of children exposed to possible lead poisoning from the toys. A Shanghai court has ordered two Chinese shoe manufacturers to pay Nike $46,000 for counterfeiting the U.S. athletic company's Air Jordans. Paramount Pictures and DreamWorks Animation announced they will no longer plan to issue new releases in Blu-ray. Light Sweet Crude trading at $70.88 a barrel. There's more on our website at qualitynewsnetwork.com. I'm Annabelle Lund.
This is a top to, you know, what we use on stage, but it's very, very special because if you can see,
yeah,
the numbers all go to 11. Look, right across the board, 11, oh, 11,
and most of
11,
the amps go up to 10.
Exactly.
Does that mean it's louder? Is it any louder?
Well, it's one louder, isn't it? It's not 10. You see, most blokes are going to be playing at 10. You're on 10 here, all the way up, all the way up,
yeah,
all the way up. You're on 10 on your guitar. Where can you go from there? Where?
I don't know.
Nowhere, exactly. What we do is if we need that extra push over the cliff, you know what we do?
Put it up to 11.
11, exactly. One louder.
Why don't you just make 10 louder and make 10 be the top number and make that a little louder?
These go to 11.
Welcome to Conversation Radio's Lean, Mean, and Green Show. It's Boxed Up with John Fox, where we turn Conversation Radio into Conservation Radio. Boxed Up is brought to you by B1 Louder Productions of Sydney, Australia, and the Mid-Atlantic Regional Council of Carpenters. They're building the American dream every day. B1 Louder by ringing 877-443-2366. That's 877, the numeral 4, head on. And now, your host, the ranting, head-banging hippie, John Fox.
Hey, welcome aboard, everybody. It's Tuesday. Well, it's actually just begun Wednesday here in Australia. But anyway, welcome aboard, Fox up here for another day of conversation radio as we continue on what we do here. I'm sorry, I was a little distracted by the chat room. There's untoward discussions having been gone on in the chat room. Also going on from that Carl Rove's father story from yesterday, and I didn't actually go and venture and look at the pictures, and well, there are a few scarred people at the Horn who did venture over there. And if you don't know what I'm talking about, you got to check out yesterday's archive. Because I just really don't know if I want to go there again. But I've been given a little revelation, though, that Karl Rove is known in the gay bars as Miss Piggy. That fits. Miss Piggy. You know, and is Bush Kermit? Some of the chat rooms threatening to post the pictures. Don't do it. Don't do it. Oh, my word. Anyway. Oh, geez. It's been one of those days over here. Aside from developments in the news that are making the Howard government look bad, which is always fun. I've been just kind of tearing my hair out with a computer and a network card all day that's been not wanting to play ball properly, but I finally beat the thing into submission and it decided to obey, damn it. Sometimes you gotta get tough with technology.
But anyway, jeez. What can I say? The Howard government and his immigration minister have been made to look like the fools they are. Now, you'll remember over about a month ago, we had this Dr. Hanif, this Indian doctor in Queensland who was picked up in supposed connection with the London botched bombings for and it was just a real mess, you know. First it's reported that this SIM card of his was at the scene at Glasgow, and but then geez, the government knew it was miles away, but didn't bother having that leaked by the Australian Federal Police. And then when the case goes in front of the Queensland magistrate, the magistrate says, you know, this case is weak. It's really weak. So we're going to release this man on bail. And then we'll have the hearing. He's got, you know, he's a highly regarded doctor in his community and all this kind of stuff. And just because one of his relatives decided to do something stupid, the immigration minister intervenes and puts him in immigration detention under the guise that he failed the character test. Now, this was obviously a purely political move, because out of one side of the government's mouth, they're saying, the executive will not get involved in this process. Oh, what? You gave him bail? Okay, log him up. Log him up. Get him out of here. We don't want him talking. We don't want him seen. And we want to make him look like a scary brown guy, damn it. And the Australian people weren't buying it, because there were all these leaks coming out from the Australian Federal Police, and then the immigration minister, what the hell's his name? It's amazing how you can forget names of people that you don't respect. but anyway, it's very, very interesting. Today, the decision on his appeal about his visa being revoked came in, and the federal court in Queensland said that the immigration minister was out of line, using the wrong mechanism to do what he did, and reinstated Dr. Hanif's visa to Australia. Now, of course, immediately the government had to appeal the appeal, which, you know, they have a right to do. But, you know, they had to say, now, wait a minute, we can't be having that now. So they're going to appeal it. There's a 21-day stay on the whole decision. And word is that Dr. Hanif's family, because he's now back in India, Dr. Hanif's family is starting to advise him to say, hey, you know what? Maybe you don't want to go back to Australia. Maybe it's just really not worth it, you know? And the judge in this decision made some very, very interesting statements of the type of precedent that these actions were setting forth. And this was a real benchmark case dealing with Australia's anti-terror laws and, you know, and the whole fear campaign, fear the brown people. And, you know, and people aren't buying it. This is one of the most dynamic and diverse countries on the planet. You know, it in some ways I now understand, you know, is sometimes even in many ways more diverse than bloody New York City, some places in this country. I mean, today I had to grab a short cab ride today, and I had this awesome conversation about the environment with a lovely Lebanese man who's been here for some 20 years, and we were talking about the weather and how, you know, he might not know everything, but he gets this whole global warming thing because it's a hell of a lot hotter down here than when he first moved here, and the winters are now a whole hell of a lot colder. And you know, so we had a great little chat, and had another really today was one of those days. I was kind of all over the place today, and I had to go down to South. I had to go down to the South Sydney area today, and I had a really, really cool conversation with a Greek couple who run one of the local, you know, takeout joints down there. And I went to go and have a little bit of breakfast, and we got into an interesting conversation. So I'll talk about some of that. I've got some more stuff on this Hanif case and the decision and some of the opinion stuff that's going around. So stick around. We're going to take our first break here on Foxed Up for a Tuesday morning. And it's morning for where most of you are. So stick around. You're on America's Liberal Voice, the head-on radio network. And we will be right back after this.
This is Bill O'Brien with a message that pretty much defines Concord University. It's from Emily Dickinson. There is no frigate like a book to take us lands away, nor any coursers like a page of prancing poetry. This traverse may the poorest take without oppressive toll. How frugal is the chariot that bears a human soul. Respect for learning, a mission to deliver education that touches souls, consideration to what students can afford, career rewards that pay dividends far beyond the dollars earned. At Concord, we've never crossed that important line between the business of education and education as a business. The first is extremely serious. It changes lives and connects with the moral and the spiritual. We're good at that. The second is no less serious. It raises ethical concerns, however. We avoid that. Concord University, the frugal chariot that bears human souls. Call the Concord Admissions Office, 1-888-384-5249.
It must have been prayer meeting with Reverend Brother Bob.
See, hey, Peter, welcome to the program.
You absolutely know that you cannot mention Robert Sunday without conjuring me. This is a known fact.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Right. Well, sometimes I do it on purpose.
You know, the thing that kills me, you know, God just continues to punk Robert Sunday. after time. And it goes back for years. You know, let's just talk a minute about his business ventures. From 91 to 94, he was involved in something called Calo Vita. And it was a multi-level marketing company that breeds that pyramid scheme.
Yeah, like Amway.
Sold beauty products and healthcare products. Oh, they had a product called Sea of Galilee Mud Mask.
No, they did not.
Oh, yes, they did.
You, no.
Bob, as a heart attack, I'm serious.
Sea of Galilee Mud Mask?
Oh, yes, it was part of the product line.
Prayer meeting edition of Head On with Bob Kincaid, Wednesday nights, 6 to 9 p.m. here on the Head On Radio Network.
All right, everybody, welcome back to Foxed Up here on the Head On Radio Network. And a little bit of the Shuffle Kings there, Mr. Paul Burton, Teo, and the boys. Yeah, and that's that band that I was telling you that has, you know, some 3,500 songs that they can play at the drop of a hat at any time. That is such a thing that doesn't exist in this world anymore. And before I go into the Hanif case thing, you know, I was having a amongst my many kind of directionless bits of blather last night, I was kind of going off all about the South Sydney Rabbitohs' huge victory last night. And, but, you know, I was down in bunny territory, you know, earlier today, because the shop where I do most of my computer business, where, you know, where I buy most of my computer gear, and I had to go down and get a couple of bits and pieces, is just, you know, about, I don't know, half a mile or less from South Sydney Club. And So, you know, this is an area of Sydney that has been so politicized. And one of the things that you have to understand is when the 2000 Olympics were gearing up, there was all this kind of state and federal pressure to do all this development before the Olympics, because the world was coming, don't you know, for bloody 4 weeks. And you know, South Sydney Council said, well, you know what, we're not going to destroy the history of this area for a bunch of tourists for a month. You know, we're just not going to do it. So the state government withheld developmental funds that were used to run parks and all different kinds of things. And so for leading up to 2000 and for like about the 4 years afterwards, the Redfern and South Sydney were just really, really, you know, it was kind of falling apart, you know, and I'm not being harsh. I mean, I used to live there. I used to, you know, Gail and I lived right on top of Everly Street, which is the infamous block, which is this strip of Aboriginal public housing. And but, you know, South Sydney is a really special place. And the last few times I've had to go down, you know, you can feel that the place is coming back. And I reckon that part of, you know, I mean, even the some of the poor Aboriginals, everyone looks happier. Everyone looks more alive. There's development happening, and I mean, we're not talking development where they're knocking down history and building on top of it. It's, you know, the community obviously is coming back a bit from the ashes. And so I get done doing my bit of, you know, go and see my mate Robert over at Ozix Computers and you know, get my new card and blah, 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 and decide, you know, I took off this morning, didn't have any breakfast, I'm going to go up to the local, to one of the local places and go grab, you know, bacon and egg roll. And I get in there and I get one of my favorite, questions, you know, I order my food and me and the bloke are having a bit of a chat, and then the wife comes out from the back and she goes, "Is that a Canadian accent?" And I just looked over at her and said, "No, but thank you very much." And we got talking about what's going on in the world, you know, and they were very cluey. They knew, you know, they were fairly up on you know, the central banks and whatnot, and you know, the very, very cluey people, and talked about voting machines and all that, and they knew quite a bit about what had gone on in the States. And what they didn't know is that voting machines are being test run here in Australia this coming federal election. And I made the comment to the guy. I go, you know, it really feels like this area of town is coming back to life. He goes, "Oh man, this has always been a great place." And I said, I know that, but it feels like there's a resurgence down here. And you know, and it's really good to see, because this is seriously working class community. This is as working class community as you will ever find anywhere. These people, you know, a lot of the people in this community have struggled, but the football club is so much a part of it. And it was just like, you know, the powers that wanted to destroy the community also tried to destroy the football club. And the football club was seriously, you know, a fundamental, you know, it was the heart of this community. I mean, this club will be 100 years old next year. Okay? We're not talking NFL, you know, the NFL is young in comparison to this. So we get talking about all this political stuff, and then the bloke's handing me my sandwich, you know, and he says he says, "Now, you know," he goes, "I'm Greek." Now he says, "I got to tell you something." He says, "One of the biggest pranks ever played on the world was the concept of so-called democracy." I go, you reckon? And he says, why do you think? He says, you see pictures of people in Greece or any of the Greek communities. What do you see? You see a bunch of old Greek guys sitting around drinking coffee and chatting. Why are they doing that? Because they know no matter what they do, no matter what they say, no matter who's in office, nothing's going to change, so just ignore it and get on with your life. And I thought it was hysterical, and, you know, big smile on his face. Really, really wonderful people. And this is part of it. You know, like, there are so many places in this city of Sydney that I've felt that there is zero community. I've lived in places for, you know, in areas of this town for a year, 2 years, and hardly have gotten to know a neighbor. But when I lived in Redfern and south of there and in Alexandria, there was a real sense of community. And I'll tell you, when the Rabbitohs were reinstated into this football competition, that's a long story, but seriously, they wanted to destroy this community. Because what they wanted to do, the developers, I mean, there's a whole bunch to do with it. The developers wanted all this land that's right on top of Sydney City. They wanted this land, and they wanted to make South Sydney an extension of downtown Sydney. And the people that have just, you know, grown up there, generations, were not going to have it. And it was just a wonderful thing. So anyway, and you know, it's this community, and the, like I was going on about last night, you know, we need to give a shit about one another. You know, we really do. And we are better when we care for those around us, when we look out for one another. And this is something that is just gets to be so lost in this modern society. It drives me nuts, you know. And it was just really, really, really good to see, you know, the almost all the stores that used to be boarded up and closed, all those spaces are now opened up with new businesses. You know, it's just really good to see. So anyway, we're going to move on to today's track of the day just because it's that time of the day. And in honor, for no other reason, in honor of Mr. Hanif being given back his visa, well, kind of, sort of, if you ignore the injunction, I just figured, why not? A little bit of Days of the New, you know, twist my arm to play Days of the New, ha ha ha. And just a track called Take Me Back Then off of the second album, Days of the New 2, the red one. Or no, sorry, that's the green one, pardon me. And speaking of Days of the New, I have just begun a dialogue with Mr. Travis Meeks of Days of the New, and he has said yes to coming on the program sometime in the future, but he and I are going to have a couple of chats before that. And, you know, and we're going to see where that leads to, because I would enjoy that immensely. And I hope most of you will too, because I know I've got some great response about the music. So without further ado, in honor of Dr. Hanif, I don't know if you'll ever want to come back. If I was you, I wouldn't come back. Days of the New, Take Me Back Then. Roll it, Bob. We'll be right back.
there's one place on the web you can go that's so topical, you can apply it liberally. WD40.com. WDYAD40.com. Clyde, Wally, and Dookie are there. They're working hard every day to give you updates in news, politics, and a great sense of humor. So stop on by and see the boys at WD40.com, a place where you can raise your voice and be heard. WD40.com. Your one-stop shop for all things progressive.
I'm Matt Rothschild, the editor of the Progressive Magazine, with my progressive point of view, which you can also download off our website over at progressive.org. Over the weekend, it became clearer than ever. Congress, with the help of compliant Democrats, gave away the store and your rights when, under pressure from Bush, it revised the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act in the wee hours before the August recess. It's not just wiretapping we're talking about here. The government may now have the power to conduct physical searches of your home or of your place of business without a warrant, so long as the feds claim that the search relates somehow to surveillance of somebody overseas. Rather than have a judge decide whether such an invasion is proper, it's now up to the Attorney General himself and the Director of National Intelligence to make that determination. And we know what reverence for our rights Gonzalez has and what a great record the CIA has in this regard. It was a scandal that the Democrats, led by Harry Reid, went along with this wholesale gutting of the FISA law. The only good thing about the new law is that it sunsets in 6 months. Between now and then, Democrats need to grow a spine, and while they're at it, take a few minutes to read up on the Fourth Amendment. I'm Matt Rothschild, and that's how I see it.
I can see your. And
again, I was talking about the Republican debate. So we'll get to the point where we're going to drag a terrorist out to the stage with the Republicans, and they're all going to take turns kicking him in the nuts and see who the audience cheers for the most. That's going to determine who's going to be the Republican candidate. And that's what they are. Kick him in the nuts. How do they do that on South Park? Rochambeau. They're going to Rochambeau the terrorists.
Come on, rub my nipples while I torture this little piggy.
No, that sounds pretty sweet to me.
The Cup of Joe radio show with your host, the working man's thinking man, Joe Vecchio. 11 a.m. to noon weekdays here on the Head On Radio Network, America's liberal voice.
Everybody, welcome back to Foxed Up here on the Head On Radio Network. And just a little bit of a programming note. The working man's thinking man, Mr. Joe Vecchio's been stuck at work again. Poor guy. Well, actually, probably a good thing for him, but I know it'll frustrate him because he wants to do his show. But, you know, I guarantee he'll be doing his best to be back with us tomorrow. So we will have a replay of some sort of classic Mr. Vecchio following this program righty here. So anyway, that Days of the New track, that one's for you, Dr. Hanif. Good on you with your win, and as your attorney said, you won round one. Now you're just waiting to find out if you have to fight round two. So more on this. Now there's a website that I read all the time. However, I don't usually link to it because it's one of those kind of subscriber things, and it's definitely a site that for Australians is worth subscribing and supporting. It's a website called crikey.com.au, crikey, and I get a daily email with all their non-public stories, and they do some just brilliant stuff. They're very snarky, they're very funny. And so they sent out a special Hanif edition today. And Greg Barnes, and I've reprinted this piece on today's show post so you can have a read of it. And if you like that, go and sign up for a trial, and you'll get a month of the Daily Crikey newsletter. And you know, even though it's very Australian related, it also will deal with stuff with the United States and the Iraq War, and you can get a bit of a feel for the Australian point of view, or at least the Australian progressive point of view. And so anyway, Mr. Barnes, Greg Barnes, has a piece here that says, "A Victory Over Guilt by Association." It's got this great picture of the immigration minister with a little cartoon bubble going, "Oops, my bad." And it says, "In addition to providing Dr. Mohamed Hanif with a significant victory over the Australian government, Justice Jeffrey Spender's judgment is a powerful rebuke to those politicians and conservative commenters who argue that our courts ought to defer to government when it comes to matters involving national security, and we must guard against governments who believe in guilt by association," said Justice Spender. I'm liking this Spender guy. "There is no room for the view sometimes uttered that the executive should have exclusive responsibility over all matters involving national security." Sounding like the United States there? And I was waiting, and I saw Howard in an interview tonight. I was waiting to hear the term activist judges come out, and I'm going to be like, all right, who from Rove's staff is down here? Because there's been some very Rove-esque moves going on as of late, and I'll tell you about that in a little bit. And he continues on saying, "True, it is that the executive branch is charged with a heavy responsibility in matters of national security, but Parliament has defined the limits defining the discharge by the executive of that responsibility, and it is for the judicial arm of government to make sure the process is legal. In other words, when it comes to anti-terror laws or border protection laws, two favorite legislative areas of activity of the Howard government and the ALP opposition, abolish the right to challenge decisions of the government in the courts is simply unfair. This is a decision which fortunately knocks on the head the submissions from the Commonwealth lawyers to Justice Spender that you can be thrown out of Australia on the basis of guilt by association." The Commonwealth's lead lawyer, this was his vibe from, to the court. And here's what he said. "If you are a person who is, using the loose expression, a friend or a good mate of, or a person who associates in that sort of way with, people who fall into the relevant category, then the minister is entitled to say, my discretion is enlivened." In other words, on this view of the world, it's enough that a visa holder is a friend of a terror suspect to make them liable to have their visa canceled. But Justice Spender was having none of this patently unfair view of the world. As he points out, if the Commonwealth's view were right, then a woman who has suffered domestic violence by her partner could have her visa canceled because she has an association with the person reasonably suspected of criminal activity. And just to illustrate how absurd the Commonwealth, and in this case Kevin Andrews, the immigration minister whose name I drew a blank on, arguments in the case were, Justice Spender cleverly observes, "If the discretion to cancel a visa holder's visa were to be enlivened on the basis of a perfectly innocent association with a person who had engaged in criminal activity, the position is not much different from the exercise of a power conditioned on the circumstance that a person has red hair. Today's decision represents a welcome victory for the rule of law in an area where it has become a scarce commodity." And it is a huge victory in that regard. You know, and we'll see what happens with this whole challenge. And in this issue, the QC for the government has a piece that says, "A rubbish judgment that leaves the law an ass." And this guy is an ass. I'm not even going to read the piece because it'll just make me angry. And then Justice Spender puts in his two cents saying that the test that the immigration minister used was wrong. There was another way that he could have done this legally, but he chose not to. He chose not to. He chose to just intervene, do whatever he felt, and that was okay with Johnny Howard. Now, here's a little bit. I was mentioning that there's been some Rovian activity over here, and the Australian press has even used that term here and there, saying, you know, this is very kind of rove tactics. You know, we're about to get the announcement of when the election here is going to be, the federal election, and the opposition leader Kevin Rudd has really not been able to put a foot wrong. Now, not saying that he's perfect, but, and I have some issues with some of his stands on things, but every poll that comes out, it's bad news for the current government. And the Labour Party just continues to, you know, they've got a 10-point lead at the moment. And it's been like that for a couple of months now. And no matter what Howard does, no matter how much money he throws around, no matter how much pork barreling goes on, no matter what he does, there is nothing that's helping him. And I think it's because the Australian people have figured out he's an arrogant little creep. Now, a few days ago, there was this big scandalous revelation that came out. Back 4 years ago, now remember, this happened 4 years ago. Kevin Rudd was on a trip to the United States as a representative of the Australian government. This was before he was the Labour leader, long before he was the Labour leader. And a Murdoch journalist or editor took him and a couple of other people to Scores Gentlemen's Club in Manhattan. Now, Kevin Rudd is a devout Christian man, and although he's not a complete stuff shirt, you know, he seems like he's a real guy, and he doesn't push his faith on anybody, you know, as it seems, you know. That's his business, and everybody else's faith is their business. And so they come out with this thing, and funny, it's leaked by a Murdoch paper 4 years later, right? So there's this big hubbub. You know, Kevin Rudd goes to strip club, and there's all this stuff, and it's been going on for days. Well, first of all, whatever damage they thought it was going to do, it didn't work, because his approval rating even went up. And the Queensland Premier, Peter Beattie, even said on television when this whole thing broke, he said, look, in the eyes of many Australians, this is going to make him human. And he admitted to having a guy who is not a drinker, you know, he's not a complete teetotaler, but you know, he's known for being pretty reserved, said he admitted right out, took complete responsibility. I mean, they talk about pulling the wind out of the sails of the attack. He took complete responsibility and said, yes, on that night I had had too much to drink, and I don't really remember the episode, so I can't tell you what happened. And it seemed to disarm the entire thing. And Peter Beattie came out and said, look, this is only going to make him more human. You know, how many men have been on a bucks night? You know, this whole thing. So after this thing's been going on for 2 days and the right wing's trying to find a way to make this thing stick, and it just won't stick. So it comes out this morning, the owner of the nightclub remembers the evening and said that 15 minutes after coming in, Kevin Rudd left, and that he did nothing untoward. So in other words, after going out on, you know, whatever the official stuff was, this editor from the Murdoch organization says, hey, let's go out for a drink. And so they end up at this place. And it's just, you know, it's been a real, real riot, you know. They've really tried hard to damage Kevin Rudd, and it's just not working. It's just not working. And, you know, there have been interesting comments, you know, I've you know, having a look at the blogs where folks have said things like, so Kevin went to a strip club, John Howard took us into an illegal war. Which do you think is worse? Which has done more damage? Who's a war criminal? You know? And it's just not going to fly. And the best part of this is the simple fact that Kevin Rudd said, yes, it did happen. Yes, I was drunk. And the next day, he even told his wife about it, saying, you know, I probably should have gone back to the hotel. And how many people have been out on some sort of an event that went a little longer or went bar hopping afterwards and woke up the next day and said, oh, geez, what the hell did I do last night? And many times finding out that you didn't do anything. But, you know, it's been quite a little ride over the last few days. It's been just unbelievable. But anyway, Howard's not looking real good. You know, and interestingly enough, their budget surplus numbers came in today, and this is all they ride on is the strength of the economy, and Rudd cannot be trusted with the economy. And for years they've been going, if labor gets in, damn it, the interest rates will rise. Well, guess what? We've had 3 interest rate increases in the last couple of months, which is hurting Howard because they've been using this as their own little skateboard through the political half pipe. And sometimes you really just shouldn't look at the chat room. Bob says, yeah, John, but sometimes you find out you're out doing the drunken horizontal boogaloo with a girl whose stage name is Mercedes. But that didn't happen here. No matter how much they tried to imply it, it didn't work. And I just, it's just a bloody riot. And like I said, you know, it's kind of like if this kind of thing came out about Dennis Kucinich, right? And how many people might actually take another look at Dennis Kucinich and go, oh, you know, that kind of makes him a bit more of a real person. You know, not like I go to strip clubs, you know, every weekend, but not to say that I haven't been to one. Christ, everybody turned 21 once. I mean, when I turned 21, I was in a rock and roll band. What happened? The band throws me in a car, and we were straight down to the naval base in Jersey. It's like part of it can be a rite of passage, and I have no problem admitting that because it was a hell of a long time ago. And actually, when the owner of the club came out with the little, you know, with the clarification saying, you know, Rudd left 15 minutes later, it reminds me of an incident that happened to me. I shouldn't say happened to me, but just an event. a few years ago, I was on tour with a band that I was working for, really good friends of mine, and I was tour managing them, and we ended up in the band leader's hometown for the first time, and had a day off afterwards, and Adelaide is kind of like, aside from being the city of churches, it's also the city of strip clubs. And so there was an invitation for the band to go to this really famous strip joint, and pretty much everybody in the band was single aside from myself and our representation from management. And so the guy from management and I are going, you know, wasn't really what we were into, you know, we've been on the road for a few weeks, and it's just like, you know, I'm going to be home in 3 days. This really isn't what I'm into. However, you were invited. So we all went. And just like Kevin Rudd, it was hysterical. We go walking in. the band all goes kind of to the front, getting into the show, doing the whole thing. And there's me and my mate sitting at the very far back table. We had our customary one drink, said thank you, and went back to the hotel. I am told that our good friend, Mr. Peter Godbold, host of Strictly Confidential, is on the phone, and I'm very, very afraid of what he's about to to do to me. How you going, Peter?
Don't be afraid, John. It won't hurt. Everything's fine, brother. Everything is fine. I will say, though, that the phone company is out here doing their magic, hopefully to get my connections all fixed up. And if the line goes dead, it went dead a little while ago. They're running some tests. So hopefully I'll stay on the air long enough to talk to you. But, you know, yesterday you did ruin my day, and I am blind. But and thank you for that. I got another story about that, and, you know, about the road bit. But that's not why I'm calling. I'm not going to go there with you. That's your baby.
We've been there. We've done that.
Yeah, we did there. Yeah, and but I wanted to tell you about this because I was going to mention it last night, but I didn't get to because, you know, I have connection issues and what have you. I have so many issues so little time. But this will get old and it will go and it won't make any sense. But I wonder, and I'm calling your show because it's got to do with, you know, Hurricane Dean and FEMA and environment and the whole bit. But, you know, they waited until Sunday when it was absolutely certain that the hurricane would not hit Texas. Okay, now that's old news. It's already hitting Mexico. But they waited until Sunday, even past the point that it was very clear that it wasn't going to veer up toward Texas. It's headed straight over into Mexico. The FEMA did this huge press release, and this guy, Paulson, who's the director of FEMA, and this just kills me. They're making this huge play to say that they are ready for Hurricane Dean. They're saying that, and he says, this is one of the best coordinated efforts I've ever seen throughout any federal family or agency to make a response. And they're going on about how there's 400,000 people living in Texas in substandard housing, you know, as if they care and blah, 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 blah. But, you know, they're making this huge see, once they were sure it wasn't going to hit Texas, now they're coming out and they're hitting the media hard, telling everybody how prepared they were. And, you know, these people kill me, John.
I actually saw a clip of that press conference down here, and I had the same exact thought. And I didn't know that it was a definite no-go on Texas, but looking at how things were looking like they were going to pan out, the chances were pretty slim, and I'm going, oh, yeah, right. This is just an absolute, you know, face-saving, absolute, just complete crock of a maneuver.
Absolutely,
try and say, you know,
John. It hits you the same way it did me then.
Yeah, we've learned our lesson from Katrina, don't you know? And
yeah.
But see, the difference is that, you know, they'll come up for the Texans, but they really, really wanted to knock out New Orleans. It's not as favorable a location to have just leveled to rebuild.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
For some people, as far as I'm concerned, because I always thought that, you know, half of the reason that they left Katrina in such a disaster was the fact that there was more, you know, minority home ownership in that area than any other city in America. And we just couldn't be having that now, could we?
No. And this Paulson guy, you know, he's the duct tape guy. He's the guy who sold out all the stores on duct tape when he was going on about how everybody should use duct tape and plastic shielding, you know, in the windows if we get a chemical attack. He did that back in 03 when he was head of some other agency that Bush appointed him to. You know, he's just a fireman that Bush started appointing to various agencies. And now he's saying that this is the best coordinated effort. Well, you see, the only other effort he's seen is Katrina. I mean, sure, it's the best effort.
Very, very many just bad lines and bad puns just went through my head, and I'm going to let them all go by. but, you know, it's gotten to the point where you can just absolutely see clearly through all of just how false and spin doctory everything that this administration does, you know. And it's too bad that there are Texans in substandard housing, but yet, you know, Katrina, what is it, 2 years on, and we still have people stuck in trailers?
Right,
and
we still have
happened?
Our listener, Katie, headed down to that area in Mississippi over the next couple of months to do more work. You know, we're having to do individuals. There's no agency helping anymore that I can tell.
There really never was. It was all about show, you know. All of it was about show and letting the damage happen. It's still to me one of the most just god awful things that has ever happened anywhere, you know. Aside from the tragedy of the natural disaster, you have the complete disregard for humanity down there.
Absolutely.
You know, and it's just absolutely frightening. Hey man, I'm running out of time, but it's always good to talk to you, my friend.
You too. I'm glad I was able to stay on the phone long enough to complete the call. I didn't know how it was going to shake out. I love your show, John. I wish I could listen more often. Some days it doesn't work out that way. Glad you're back.
And I hope you're able to be on tonight. So, you know, I'll be looking forward to Strictly Confidential later on today, man. You're doing a great job.
It's unclear about that status right now, but we're working on it. And you hang in there, John.
All right, Matty. Take care of yourself.
Yes, sir. Bye-bye.
All right, we got to get out of here real quick. Thanks to Bob for producing. Thanks to Peter for ringing in. It's always fun to talk to that man. Thanks to Ben Birch. Thanks to our mods, our bloggers. Thanks to everybody. Thanks to Scott Berry at B1 Ladder Productions for the music. And thank you to you for spending your time with us today. And as we say here on Foxed Up, be good, be green. We'll see you tomorrow.
If ever I would stop thinking about music and politics, tell you that sometimes it's easier to desire and pursue the attention and admiration of 100 strangers than it is to accept the love and loyalty of those closest to me. And I would tell you that sometimes I prefer to look at myself through someone else's eyes, eyes that aren't clouded with the tears of knowing what an asshole I can be as yours are. If ever I would stop thinking about music and politics, I might be able to listen in silence to your concerns, rather than hearing everything as an accusation or an indictment against me. And I would tell you that sometimes I use sex to avoid communication. It's the best escape when we're down.
Old. We are talking about a 3-year-old. And she was screaming and gasping for breath.
This is the Quality News Network. Dean has been downgraded from a Category 5 to a Category 3 hurricane after it smashed into the coasts of Mexico and Belize this morning, raging with winds exceeding 165 miles per hour. It was the fiercest Category 5 storm to make landfall since Hurricane Andrew in 1992. In Ottawa, Canada's Prime Minister, Mexico's President, and President Bush have agreed to design a mutual strategy safeguarding borders in the event of an emergency like a terrorist attack or outbreak of the avian flu. The plan would aim to provide border security without disrupting commerce. In Baghdad today, 15 former officials from the Saddam Hussein regime go on trial for crimes against humanity. The men are accused of massacring as many as 100,000 Shiites during a 1991 uprising. In Fort Meade, Maryland, two of the most serious charges have been dropped against the only officer brought to trial in the Abu Ghraib prison abuse scandal. That after an investigator admitted he had failed to read the Army Reservist Lieutenant Colonel his rights before questioning. A National Guard helicopter crashed last night in western Utah, killing two. The cause of the crash is under investigation. In Minneapolis, a 13th body has been recovered from the Mississippi River. Authorities say the remains belong to the last person listed as missing from the collapse of the Twin Cities Bridge earlier this month. Continued rain in Missouri, Wisconsin, and Oklahoma is adding to the flooding and landslides that have already claimed at least 20 lives. Damages are estimated in the millions. Reuters reports the number two man at the Pentagon has produced a memo establishing 25 goals to be accomplished before the end of the Bush administration, including